And as we were singing, and even confirmed in the prayer before the service began, is that the hearts and the lives of God's people are filled with hallelujahs. We're filled with testimony of what God has done, and I just felt it fitting this morning to glorify our King, is to come before His throne of grace and to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you've provided for in our lives. I'd like to provide an opportunity, and the worship team will continue to play quietly. And I just want to ask you, if you've just got a quick one-minute little testimony and you feel comfortable just coming up to say, God, I thank you for what you've provided in my life for this year, and how you've used others to be a blessing to me, or how I've been able to be a blessing to others. Because do you know what, church? We need to shout out from the rooftops what God has done for us. We need to continue to provide testimony for His goodness, because it's that testimony that will grow us. It's that testimony that will take us much further in our relationship with Him. But at the same time, it will bring refreshing and hope to others. So if there's something on your heart that you just very quickly want to come and share, say, God, thank you for doing this in my life this year. As we stand at the end of a year, that's maybe been a tough one for you, like I said. But there's something you just want to give God all the glory for. Please feel free to do that. I'm going to provide a space for that right now.
I just want to thank the Lord for this year, for sustaining me. But obviously I was in the internship, but it wasn't just me. I had prayer partners, I had financial partners, myself and Isaac. And just to thank the Lord and to thank you guys for partnering with us. It wasn't easy, and even till today, this week has been quite an odd week for me, but I can just thank the Lord for what He has done and for the brothers and sisters that He's placed me with, and the new relationships that He's started and that He has steered me towards. So I can just thank the Lord for His faithfulness, for sustaining us as a house and sustaining me within it. And even in every single relationship, every single encounter, every conversation that was had, it's been one massive journey. And in certain instances, just the start of journey. But I want to thank you also for those that partnered with us. And I know Isaac, he's not here today, but I asked him, you know, what is the one of the biggest things you can be thankful for this year? And he said, one of the things, even though I didn't go to India, was what stood out amazingly was God's provision. Because he didn't think it, but you know, 75,000 is not a small amount, but it came in. And in certain instances, the Lord sends you on a path and you don't have to lift a finger, but He will make it happen. Amen. As long as it's in His will. I just want to encourage you to trust Him, just as we all are in that journey.
Morning, church. So I want to thank God for also for this year. It's been a very tough year for me. There's a lot that happened in this year, a lot of strain that went onto my shoulders, in my work, got married 2 months ago. So a lot of strain, actually just not always knowing what to do. But what I take away from this year is God reminding me to cherish His word, His relationship in my heart. And there's been a few times this year where God didn't, well, I went into prayer. So I'm also big on prayer. If you don't know, I facilitate intercessions. I'm very big on prayer and the practicality of prayer. So when I pray, I also try and exercise it out of my daily life. And a lot of times God would not remind me of scripture, but He would remind me of what He taught me through scripture. That's why it's important to cherish it, to hold it in your heart. And this week, I was having a bit of a deep wrestle. And all God did was, He reminded me, did I not give you what you need? And I've been reminded this year that every time I needed something, God made a way. When we got married, my first question was, God, I don't have money to pay for a wedding. And God made a way. God gave me a vision. I'm a hard worker. God gave me a vision. God gave me a community. He gave me people to help. And he gave me a beautiful personality. This morning I came into church and one of the things I said was, Lord, thank you that you are, that you have a creative side, that you have a funny side. Because if I am his image bearer, that means he has a sense of humor. And I have a sense of humor. So I praise God. I'm fearfully wonderfully made. And I thank him for that because I get to take that into the world. I'm unashamed and unafraid. I had coffee with a friend yesterday and we spoke about Jesus' first commission, where the Father first spoke his words over Jesus. And it was, this is my beloved son. But when Jesus went into the wilderness, the devil feared not, say, are you not the beloved son of God? He just said, are you not the son of God? Even the devil fears when we are loved. And I thank God that I'm loved. I'm not perfect, but I'm loved. I have freedom because the Son has set me free. And I thank God for that. That's the truth I live in and I walk in. And that is something that's become very real and very deep in my heart this year. So when I speak about identity, it's something I walk in. These size 12 feet, that's what they walk in. I am planted because I have to take on life. And I thank God for that.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning, Nicole.
I'm really thankful to the Lord. Okay, there's so much, but just in the last week, it's been really pressure at work. I've been battling with my own thoughts because I realized I was, some of these old ways of thinking was coming, rearing an ugly head. And then I'm just like so grateful to God because then I sent a message on our worship leader group. I was going to ask them, please pray for me. And while I was typing the message, I realized, wait a minute, why am I thinking in this way? What my message ended up being was actually what I'm thinking now, how my mind has changed, because I was also encouraging them as well as myself to not meditate on our trials and challenges, but to declare the truth and to pray fervently for one another, like Jesus, because Jesus still prays for us and intercedes on our behalf. And that was, so instead of praying for myself and my situation, I went and I prayed, and God was showing me people that I needed to be interceding for. And so instead of praying for myself and what was happening at work, I was just praying for them. And I've really felt God's heart burdened for certain, like some of my friends who I know are lost and don't know Christ. And I've been so burdened to pray and intercede on their behalf. And like an hour later, I got a message from somebody else in the church and said, hey, I was thinking about you, how are you doing? I'm like, I didn't even tell her because it was Vanette. I was so blessed. Thank you, Vanette. Like, I was so amazed at how God, I didn't have to pray. God knows about what I'm going through, but his heart is for other people as well. And like when I prayed for other people, God had my back, like on this, like that somebody who I didn't even tell was praying for me. So yeah, I'm blessed. Thank you, Lord. Like God has really blessed me and he's blessed this church with beautiful people, and I'm grateful for that. Like there's some beautiful community people here, and like even sitting yesterday with James and Larae and Steph and Auntie Carolyn and my mom, it was just so cool to be able to do that. Like so thank you, Lord.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, George.
You know, I was sitting there and I wanted to say something, but George said, no, you're not going to stand up. And I struggled there, although it was for a second or two. And that's why I'm standing here, because God lifted me up. He said I must come and speak to you. Now, what I'm going to tell you is something might sound insignificant, but to me it's a lot. In Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 8, it says, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. One sentence, but wow, what a powerful one it is. You know, we are speaking about the year that has gone by. and the difficulties we had, the ups and downs, we all had that. Those that know me, I'm in real estate, and this was a very, very difficult year for me. And as Sharon mentioned, what power there is in a small group. If you're together with your brothers and your sisters, and you discuss that which is bugging you, that which you are struggling with, and you discuss it with them. And then we pray for each other. And I've learned this, if I pray for you, I know you're going to pray for me. I'll pray one prayer for you, and yes, 15 people, 30 people, they're all going to pray for me. Wow, isn't that wonderful? And in the last October, November, December, September, October, November, December, I sold 3 properties. And that is just because I have shared my bekommernis, my concern with my fellow brothers and sisters in the small group. God is good. God is good. And in the festive seasons where we're going into now, please never forget that there's only one that will take you through this period, and that is if you have God number one in your life. Speak to Jesus every day, and He will speak to you. Ask Him to lead, teach, and guide you, and He will do that. You must allow Him to do that. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Jets. It's about 45 years that I've been struggling with eating habits, compulsive eating, emotional eating, you name it. And it was the second week in January, we went France Crown on holiday, and I had a dream. And in this dream, the Lord said to me, if you don't stop, it's not going to end well for you, because I was dying in the dream. I was never so scared in my life. And I remember we went out that day, everything turned, because the fear of God was within me. And I said, Lord, what now? I don't know how to stop this. I don't know where to start. And it was just 2 weeks of just praying, and God brought this book over my path. It's about detoxing from sugar for 40 days. And I said, okay, Lord, but the sugar, but what about the starch? He said, both, everything. You have to detox from everything. So I started my journey, and I was so fear-driven, because I've tried so many times, and every time I fail, I just fail. And food is my comfort. Food became my God. Instead of going to God, I go to food. That was my support structure. And you know what? I started this journey. I said, Lord, I'll do what I can, but you do the rest. And this whole year, I've been through a journey of just trusting God. God just showing me where's the roots of the eating, the rejection, all those things. It was all just all pattern of things, but God broke everything down. He healed me, and I'm still in an ongoing process, but I just want to say, you know, I never thought I would succeed. It's almost a year, and I'm sugar-free and starch-free. I haven't put my mouth to anything, and I realize, you know what, it's not in our own strength. God gives us the strength to overcome. So yeah, I just feel, Lord, thank you that you gave me the strength to overcome and to continue this journey. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Sharon started off talking about how she had lost Chris. And I was now then reminded how I too lost my husband, but that was 19 years ago. And it seemed like a long time, but it seemed like yesterday. But you know, God has been so good and faithful in these 19 years. Like, you've just walked 1 year with Him. I've been through it for 19. But He's been good. He's been faithful. when we look at the backside of the story, we can only give honor to him. Yeah. Things that I thought were not possible, because by my makings they were not possible. But God has been so creative in crafting different ways of doing things. When I was looking back, he told me, look ahead, because I'm doing a new thing. And I see the new thing every single day, because I'm not looking back anymore. Those things are gone. The past is the past. It's history. It's his story now. And he gives me grace every single day, because he's put me on a new trajectory. He's put me on a new path. And I can face my tomorrows, because I know who's in my tomorrow. He's there. He's the one strengthening me. He's the one sustaining me. He's the one that is providing for me. And all glory to him. Like Stephen says, it's been a year of excitement. It starts off like that. And then it's also been a year of disappointment. And you say your goodbyes to people without even saying goodbye to them physically. But thank God, there's joy in the morning. We can experience the depth of his love even through our disappointments in this earthly life. God strengthens us and sustains us, and he keeps us. And there's no one better to hold on to than him, because he is a promise keeper. He's kept us all this time. And I can only but thank God. Like Isaiah, he's put me on a new path. And I thank God that he's opened my eyes to that reality and that truth. That he is my provider, he's my protector, and he's my just everything.
Amen. Thank you, Cynthia. Bless you. Stephen's just going to read us a scripture, and then we're going to worship the Lord one more time.
This is just from Luke 22. I was listening to a song last night that was really blessed me. And she read the scripture from verse 28. But just to include yourself in this. This is Jesus, and he's speaking to Simon. And he says, "You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes." And this is where you can insert your name. See, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Yes. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Amen. Jesus has prayed for you, and he intercedes for you, that your faith will not fail.
Amen. Amen. Things are going to be a little bit different now. I'm not going to preach. Praise God. Because I don't preach particularly well, but I do like to encourage, and I do like to just shower God's love on others. So this morning has gone so well so far for me, so I feel very, very encouraged. If it boiled down to just theology, you'd be in trouble this morning. But praise God that his word is true. Amen. And that his word brings freedom to the captives. And even though you might have felt this year has been a bit of a year of captivity, or a year of suppression, or a year of the lack of breakthrough, can I just remind you that God makes a way where there seems to be no way. He's the God of breakthrough. He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. And this morning I want to celebrate that, as I just share with you a bit of an encouragement this morning. We've been going through a process at school where we've been hiring new teachers. And for those of you that are in HR or involved in the interview process, I'm pretty sure you know what it entails. It's always looking for that special something in somebody that says, yes, this is a person we need to hire. Huh? Isn't that so? And you go in the interview and saying, right, I'm going to just drop one little thing. They'll hire me for that. that personality, Johannes, you know? So it got me thinking a little bit about, you know, about the body of Christ and what our role is as a church. And then it just struck me that if you were to break down one thing that we need to minister as ministers of the gospel on an ongoing basis, it's the ministry of refreshing. Hello? Because we all need to be refreshed every day. We need just that coolness of encouragement to come upon us. Just that strength of our burdens being lifted as somebody prays over you. So I was going to stick a little advert up there, because the body of Christ is hiring. We are hiring to join our team. So when it does pop up, you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm going to read out the job advert. All of you know what a job advert looks like? Yep. When that thing grabs you and says, yeah, this Ecker, I can do this job. What does the body of Christ need, all right, in terms of being a minister of refreshing? Well, basically the body of Christ needs a refreshing person. Okay, are you a refreshing person? No special education required. Don't need a long degree on each arm. Okay? They need to sense the hidden needs. They need to have a sense of the hidden needs that people have when you see them. They must love without expectations. They must love without expecting anything back. And must encourage. There we go. Can you read that? We want a refreshing person. No special education required. The need to sense the hidden needs. Must love without expectations and must encourage. Flatterers are not wanted. Amen. Don't apply if you're a flatterer, okay? Don't apply as jy meer praat en minder doen. Don't need those oaks in the church. Yeah, it's good to talk. It's good to profess God's goodness. It's good to profess the word of God. But at the end of the day, God calls us to serve one another in love. So let's look at this position in the body of Christ, a minister of refreshing. Do you know anyone who would maybe meet these qualifications in our church or at your job or in your family? It's a person that genuinely cares. Genuinely cares. You can see they really care for others. Whose words are uplifting. Never judgmental. If you have a person in your life like this, can I just say, you are blessed. And if you are that kind of a person, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Amen? You see, we are searching in our dryness, because some of us have gone through a desert this past year. Some of you identify with that. Bit of dryness, bit of difficulties, eh? And some of us wander through our deserts and we're searching for someone to quench the thirst of our souls with a cool, refreshing dose of encouragement, kindness, and goodness. Because that's what we need. Do you remember singing that song when I first got saved? As the deer panteth for the water. Ah, what a lovely song. So my soul longeth after thee, O Lord. Psalm 42. And does your soul really thirst after the things of God? In your situation, are you putting your situation first? Or like Nicole said, you look to what God can do in and through your situation. Wow, that was so encouraging. You see, the world's view of refreshment is limited to physical needs, right? When you think of refreshment, what do you think of? Come on, church. Milk. Food. Milk.
Milk.
Milkshake. Hey, though. I'm not going to stop until I hear what I need to hear. There's a specific drink that brings such refreshing.
Coca-Cola.
Da say. Coca-Cola. You know what? Coca-Cola's been going for so many years, okay? I don't know all the details. Somebody said to me, Pepsi came before Coke, but no one really knows who Pepsi is. Do you know, back in 1969, I was born then. I didn't know much about Coke because I was still on mother's milk, kind of. But anyway, Coca-Cola went on an advert. They were just breaking into the world market, and they were looking for a way in which to get people all over the world to drink Coke. And I don't know if you know this, but there were these British songwriters in early 1970, that came up with the song, "I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing," in perfect harmony. Turtle doves and allaihut, okay? And Coca-Cola got a hold of this, and they got a group of young people across the world, and they met in Italy on the hilltops. And they came up with a famous Coca-Cola ad, okay, which said, "I'd like to buy the world a Coke." I don't know if you remember that. And it was released in 1971, and the New Seekers took it on as a hit record. But it was such a poignant and such a powerful advertisement. And I'd like to play it for you, if we can. Have you got it? Lekker. And I want you to watch this advert. It's so lekker. It's in one of those lekker feeling. But I want you to look at it in terms of spiritual refreshment, and then we'll get into that. Can you play that quickly?
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honey bees and snow white turtle doves.
Ideal, eh?
I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company.
Make lacquer ads in my day. Isn't that a cool ad? Hey? The question is, and I hope you looked at it with a bit of a spiritual mindset in terms of refreshing, because when we get varam and we have that Coke, oh, it's the best feeling in the world, isn't it? But what does the world need today in terms of the dryness that we experience, the hardships that we go through? Because you know what? Coke never has been, never will be the real thing. Jesus is. Come on, church. If we can just get a glimpse of what God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through the love and fellowship that we have together, the world would be a much better place. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. Spiritual refreshment refers to the real thing, not Coca-Cola. Because it's when we are refreshed or revived in our inner spirit through our relationship with God and interacting with others and experiencing, like the testimonies proved this morning, just how much the love of the saints can make a difference in our lives and how we can support and be with one another. That's when our hearts are filled with peace and joy and we have an inner strength that brings renewal in our lives. You know, we live in a world where sin and all its consequences are running rife. Okay, we know that. Therefore, we all need refreshment. We all need a little bit of a reprieve. We all need an opportunity to be ministered to and to be loved on. We all need that. And when we are negatively affected by trials and the difficulties that we go through, our own sins, the sins of others, we need to know that we need to be there for one another. We need to be able to be the friend that God wants us to be to each other. Proverbs 17:7 said that a friend loves at all times. Simple little scripture. A friend loves at all times. Not just when it's going lekker, when your friend has hurt you. You love your friend. It gets a bit rough sometimes. Your boss keeps on pulling you down. God said, I must love my boss. How can I love him, Lord? Friend loves at all times. You know, when things are good and we prosper, our friends know us. When things don't go so lekker and it's really rough, we know who our friends are. Amen. Isn't that true? That some friends stick close like a brother. You see, I know we get it wrong so many times, and we're all different, okay? All of us are different. And sometimes, you know, we might be so right with something, okay? Yeah, but, you know, the reason why I'm mad with you, and, you know, godly anger is biblical, so I'm cross with you because you didn't do what you said you were going to do. Okay, so I'm right, and you're wrong. Have you had that scenario maybe play out itself before you? I've had. Or you've got somebody who's really messed up. Really messed up, and they know they've messed up, and they come to you and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, please forgive me. I'm going to try my best to do it better next time. Okay? Where they are clearly wrong, but they've got the right attitude. You see, God is not concerned with the right and the wrong, and who's right and who's wrong, but he's concerned with the attitude of your heart. You can be so wrong, but have the right attitude. You can be so right, but have the wrong attitude. The question is, who is God going to favor in that moment? I want to encourage you this morning. How is the attitude of your heart when you go through the difficulties and struggles that you're going through? Someone once said that we, the church, are carriers and ministers of refreshment through the love and unity that we have. Wow. Our world needs Christians who are really involved in the lives of people. Christians are not Christians if they're not involved in the lives of others. If they are not making a difference in the lives of others. We as leadership are reading a book at the moment. Most of us have finished it. I don't know about you, but I read about 30 books a year. I never finish one. But I'm going through this book, and it's really encouraging. It's called The Other Side of Church. I'd recommend it. And it's basically about attachment, unity, and love in the church. And what strikes me the most as I've been reading this book is the importance of really understanding that the church's role is to love one another. God has called us, not with any conditions, to love one another. Let's look at John chapter 4, 1 John 4, from verse 7 to 12. Let's read through it together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. You see, if we truly understand this passage in essence, it means that we need to form an attachment and a bond with one another. Small groups, we need to grow and we need to strengthen those attachments that we have in our small little oikos together. And the reason why we need to do that is because God has attached himself to us through sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Fellowship is attachment. Fellowship is attachment. It's not social interaction. Ja, ons kan lekker praat, ons kan lekker weet kuier oor a choppy and a voice, but at the end of the day, what's it really about? We've got to be able to love one another with the 1 John 4 kind of love. You see, if we don't have this kind of love, the congregation ceases to be a church. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but it's true. If we are not going to love as God commands us to love, we need to love one another. We need to get behind one another when things don't go so lack. Or when things fall apart and grudges and offenses raise their ugly heads, we can come in there like a flood and say, hey, brother, come on, let's get behind you. Let's love you. Let's lift you up. Let's pray for you. Let's not look at who's right and who's wrong. Let's look at the attitudes of our hearts before God. That's all that really, really matters. You see, you cannot separate these two loves. You cannot separate our love for one another, and you cannot separate God's love for us and our love for God. How do we show our love for God? By loving one another. Amen. And we demonstrate our love for others by loving God. It's interchangeable. You cannot separate the two. You see, until we can restore our loving attachments to God and to each other. In other words, we get serious about our love for God. Get serious about our love for each other. Until we do that, we are not ministering refreshing. Rather, we end up suppressing our love and God's love for one another. Wow. If we're not ministering refreshing, we are suppressing our love for God and God's love for others. In other words, we stop the godly process of attachment and we weaken the vineyard of the church. John 15:15 says, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I will abide in you. And you shall bear much fruit. Next year, church, we're going to bear fruit. We're going to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Shofar Brackenfell is going to go and make a difference. Not because of the programs and the processes that are in place, but because of the love that we have for one another. And the love that he's demonstrated to one another because of our love for God. That's really what it's all about. I just want to encourage you in that this morning. So what is a minister of refreshing really? Perhaps you can envision yourself in this position. What kind of character traits do you need? I mean, the Bible is full of showing us how to love. Showing us how to get it right. There's so many scriptures that guide us in the right direction. But I think the person that is best qualified to help us in this, okay, is the Apostle Paul. Do you agree? Hy het deur goed gegaan, daai man. Yo, when you read through the church of Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and you see the battles that they had back in those days and how different it was to the lives that we lead today, we cannot begin to imagine his battles and his struggles as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at two of his friends, Onesiphorus and Philemon. We're gonna break it up a little bit. If we can go to the next slide, please. And I'm going to try and just get through these two characters in terms of looking at them and saying, wow, are these the character traits that we need as we apply ourselves to the position of a minister of refreshment? So in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing out of prison and he says, may the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus. Whether he was still with Paul in prison at the time or whether it passed on, we don't quite know. He says, for he often refreshed me and was not afraid of my chains. Come on. And I'm going to give you the context of that in a moment. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly. And he found me. There were never signposts to say, the Apostle Paul is in prison C in the 3rd Street in Rome. No, no. He had to go and find him. In those days, the Christians were adversely persecuted. And Paul was imprisoned because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He says, may the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. That's Onesiphorus. Let's go and look at Philemon. Philly, okay? Verse 4-7. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective
for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you.
Wow.
You see, when you look at that word partnership, it comes from the Greek word koinonia. And koinonia is basically being connected together in God's love. And how closely we are koinoniaed together as a congregation, to that degree, God's love would be able to make a difference to the people that we're ministering to and to the lives of each other. See, ministering refreshment leads to koinonia. It leads to that bond uniting Christians as individuals and groups. Because that's what we're about, with each other and with Jesus Christ. So let's look at these two candidates. Let's look at Onesiphorus, for example. As we read, we can see he's probably been saved through the church in Ephesus. Kind of gives us the picture that he was saved through Paul's ministry. And he comes and he ministers to Paul in prison. So just let me give you context. In that day, you didn't have a prison with all these modern facilities like a canteen and a TV and all I could. No, those prisoners were in chains in a dark place. All right? And they allowed people, friends, to come and visit and to bring them food. That's where Timothy ended up eventually as well, ministering to Paul and taking a lot of his words and putting it into an epistle. So we look at this man and we see that he struggled to find Paul. He went to look for him. He had a heart to minister to Paul. And so he made sure he did everything in his power to find him. And then he went and he ministered to Paul. And the thing that really stands out for me is that, you know, when we minister refreshing to others, we need to go out of our way sometimes. It's not always so comfortable. We can't just look for the ones who are easily accessible. Oh, no, look, I'll minister to you. No. Sometimes we need to go after those who really need us. I mean, no one else is going after them. That's why I'm excited about the programs for next year in terms of outreach and missions. But he was determined to be a blessing to Paul. If we look at Philemon, he was a Greek. He was a man of great standing. He was saved in the Colossian church. And he's linked to a person by the name of Onesimus, who was one of his slaves, who obviously did something wrong, because it speaks about that later on in that passage where Onesimus probably stole from him. And he too either was in the household of Aquila and
Priscilla.
Yeah, that's what, Priscilla and Aquila. And it looks as if he was pulled into the ministry in Rome, and he went and he ministered to Paul as well. And Paul says to Philemon, this young man has become like a son to me in prison. And what I want you to do, because of your refreshing and your love to the brethren in your church, I want you to do the same to him. Welcome him back as a son. Church, when we minister refreshing, we minister reconciliation.
Amen.
Come on. There's nothing else that's really important than to say, this is broken down, but let me come alongside you. Let me minister God's love to you this morning. Let me just come and sit with you. Do you remember Job? Yes, hy het goed gegaan, daai man. I couldn't even imagine what Job went through. And you remember his three friends? Do you know what the first passage of Scripture says about them? It says they went and they met with Job. And for 3 days they sat, and no words were exchanged.
How?
Johannes, yes, I'll circle that in ek. They just sat with Job. They didn't say, they didn't do, they just sat there. They ministered refreshing to him in his time of need and his time of difficulty. Man, when I look at what Paul is telling Philemon here, is I want you to continue with the ministry of reconciliation by welcoming Onesimus back as your son. No longer a slave. Yes, he wronged you. One of the biggest roles of a minister of refreshing is to bring about reconciliation and love. And if you're in a relationship that's battling in that department, come on. Let's look at bringing refreshing into that situation. Find somebody that can minister with you. And let's bring conciliation in the church, because that's what it needs in order for the church to progress and to be successful. So when I look at the essential qualities needed to become a minister of refreshment, it's these. I'm just going to go through them quickly. I want you to think a little bit as you read these. Unselfishness, placing the other person's needs before your own. Easy to do? No. Okay, but if you've got a heart of refreshing, and you can come in as a minister of refreshing, and you put all your things aside, and you look at the person's needs, and say, come, how can I come alongside you? How can I help you? How can I walk with you? Be available. Being willing to give your time. I know we're busy people. I know that. But find a time where you can come alongside somebody that the Lord puts on your heart and to say, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to stand in the gap and pray with you, just like you shared, Nicole. And it's so important that we avail ourselves in that way. Sensitivity, hearing what a person feels and intuitively knowing when you're needed. I go back to the job description. Needs to sense their hidden needs. Wow. Okay, you can go back there. Thank you. Determination. Yo, I'm telling you, Onesimus was determined to find Paul, resolving to help despite the obstacles. They were being really persecuted in those days. It was never easy. But yet, he displayed the true character of a minister of refreshing. Positive attitude, seeing beyond the present circumstances and being hopeful and full of faith for the other person. And then compassion, real compassion, showing tolerance, mercy, and understanding. When you're not in that I'm right and you're wrong scenario, and the attitude of your heart is set in such a way where all you want to do is be a blessing. All you want to do is extend God's love to the next person. All you want to do is to be able to make a difference in somebody's life by bringing refreshing to them. Then what happens is your compassion, your showing grace and mercy and understanding will make all the difference in your life, in their lives, and in the church. We need to be a church that extends grace, understanding. We might not always understand what's behind troubles and difficulties. But you bring refreshing by just being there sometimes. Bring refreshing by just hanging in there and saying, I'm prepared to walk with you. What do you need? What can I pray for you for? The church needs ministers of refreshing. So, long and the short of it all, we are all candidates for this position. Can I get an amen? Are we all candidates?
Amen.
Amen. The question is, are you willing to apply yourself to this ministry? See, as we move into next year, may we be ministers of refreshment to one another. May we love one another, be there for one another, and serve one another. Final scripture I want to leave with you this morning. Philippians 2, verse 2 to 4. Make my joy complete, Paul prays, by being of the same mind, having the same love towards one another, knit together, koinonia, together in spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel, which is the good news regarding salvation through faith in Jesus Christ.